Good morning, Grace Life. I always feel a sense of excitement as I think about Sunday mornings. Just expectation, I think the word would be. Just being able to spend time with my family here and, of course, you know, just praising our wonderful Father. And so it's a blessing to be here this morning. So as Grant said, part two of a four-part series. If you were here last week, you'll know that Dawn preached an amazing message, beautiful, on soul rest. And just before we get into the message this morning, I just felt to share something. And this was something that I happened upon this week. And I was listening to my iTunes. It was playing in my car. I love Hillsong. And between the songs, there was a preach that started by the lead pastor, Brian Houston. And he planted, I think, Hillsong, and you'll know Hillsong if you listen to worship music, beautiful. And it was at the launch of the new album, and the new album was called No Other Name. So he decided to preach a message on names. And what he said was very true, is that our names carry power in certain areas and carry authority. You know, when you sign a document, maybe a check or something, I don't think they do checks anymore, but that document with your signature carries authority in whatever the document's purpose is. And even hopefully in your families, there's an authority that you carry over your children in your workspaces. Maybe you're a manager or a business owner. Hopefully you carry authority over that thing. But there are certain places that our names don't carry authority in. So I remember we went to something called Winter Wonderland in London when we were on holiday there. And it was beautiful. It was at Hyde Park and it was New Year's Eve. And, you know, the festivities had started snowing. And it was very cold. And on the way back, we got a little bit of shelter at the gates of Buckingham Palace. And I couldn't stand at Buckingham Palace and raise my hands and go, "It's Andrew Kyle here." And the gates would open up like that. Anyway, the preach was phenomenal. He started to talk about the gate beautiful and things like that. And I haven't got time to speak about that. But what he said was quite incredible. He started to speak about the name of Jesus and how the name of Jesus carries power and authority all over our planet. Obviously, in areas where people understand who Jesus is. When you understand who he is, his name carries power and authority over all areas. What he said was this. He said, if you've taken a nail, and if you put a nail up against the wall and you started to bang it in, maybe you're hanging a picture, and you miss the nail and you hit the other nail. You know that feeling, hey? It's sore. Universally, even if people don't know who Jesus Christ is, they reach for a name. They don't reach for the name of Buddha. They don't say Buddha, or they don't say Muhammad as they hit their nail. They reach for the name Jesus Christ. And I thought that was very powerful, because even if it's in a blasphemous way and they don't know who Jesus is, there is no name higher than any other name, especially when it comes to release of pain and that sort of thing. We reach for the name of Jesus Christ. Even the unbelievers do. Isn't that something to celebrate? They just need to get to know who he is. And it's our job, I think, not a job, but it's our calling to show them that. So I just felt to mention that this morning. Four-part series, part one, Dawn preached an amazing message on soul rest. And she used that word rest. It was a representation of relationship, embrace, study, and trust. And then she said, you're at rest, you're at your best when you're at rest. And that's what I took away, one of the things. Because it's a battle, isn't it? We're fighting battles every day, but we're called to fight from a place of rest, a place of victory. You're at best when you're at rest, and you're at rest when you're at your best. So as we get into the message this morning, I want to ask you a question. Think of something that you've received as a gift that has meant a lot to you. Maybe it's something of very high monetary value. Maybe it's, I don't know. But when I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the various things that I've got over my life, in my life, I thought of one thing, and it was this book here. And I quickly ran upstairs, and I hadn't looked through the book for a long time. It was given to me by my kids when they were young, and I was a lot younger. And I started to read through it, and I thought, man, isn't this beautiful? And the reason that I'm saying that this morning is because we've just finished a time of worship where we've been telling our dad what we think of him. And he's been speaking back to us. And so I thought I would just put up a couple of the pictures on that book. I'm going to have to get my glasses. I didn't need this when I was 52 last week. Suddenly, 53, I need glasses and so I can see properly. It says here, my dad isn't afraid of anything. That's what my kids thought about me. I'm not afraid of anything. He can wrestle with giants. Isn't that beautiful? That's what my boys thought about me. My dad can eat like a horse. I don't get to eat that much anymore because the kids generally help themselves. He's as strong as a gorilla, hey? I think they mean I look like a gorilla, but I don't know why. What else have we got here? And he's as happy as a hippopotamus. He's all right, my dad. He's as wise as an owl. My dad's a great dancer. Ooh, hey, Pam, how's my dancing? And he makes me laugh a lot. I love my dad. And you know what? He loves me, and he always will. And I just thought, you know, in this time of worship that we've had, that's the truth. Our Father loves us, and we love him. And that will never change from his side to us. He has grace for us through every season of our lives. And so the promise that we're going to uncover today is the promise of grace. It's an amazing thing when we get that revelation. Grace is not only one of the greatest gifts that we've been given by God, it's also one of the most encouraging. If we think of Ephesians 2 verse 8, it says it's by grace that we've been saved. And it says in John 1:17, it says grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. The revelation that God is a perfect Father is what my prayer is for all of us today. My Father loves me, and there's nothing that I can do in this relationship with him. And when I'm saying me, I'm talking about us. That's ever going to increase the amount of love that he has for us. Even when we are not good sons and daughters, his grace is still abounding and will never change. So I pray this morning for revelation in that area, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is abounding in all situations and circumstances. Now, I don't know what type of father you had or maybe have. I know that my dad is an amazing father. My earthly father tried his best, and he sacrificed so much, and I'm eternally grateful for that. But I also know that just like me, he's not a perfect father. I make mistakes. Every father and mother here makes mistakes. But what we do is not helpful. We sometimes take the imperfect and we try and mold God into that thing. God is a perfect God. Whatever your experiences are with your earthly father, there's a certain grace that we're called that flows from our Father, which is perfect, into those situations. Without understanding the grace of God, it's very unlikely that we're going to be able to understand that message of rest that Dawn shared last week, because it flows through grace and the revelation. Is not to allow batteries to go too low. Our main teaching this morning is from 2 Corinthians, and it's Paul, and he's talking to the, he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about a thorn in his side. He doesn't tell us what that thorn is. Maybe one day we can ask him face to face. Hey, what was that thorn? But he says that the thorn was placed there. He recognizes it as something that was placed there to keep him humble. Very important is that we remain humble. Let's read what he says. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6, "Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh." Now, I believe that we all have thorns in our flesh for various reasons. One of the reasons, or one of the responses to the thorns in our flesh, is that it's there to help us grow our characters. Because if our characters are never put under pressure or stress or test, it's unlikely that they can be stretched and we can grow through those things. So sometimes we got to celebrate those things that ultimately look hard and difficult and sore and painful, because ultimately it allows us to carry more. That's the truth. And then our God made another promise, and Paul speaks about it in the next piece of scripture. Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now let those words sink in this morning, friends. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what the Lord is saying to us. It's what our Father is saying to us. Did you really hear him this morning? Are you listening to him? His grace is sufficient for us. Even if you think about the name of this church, Grace Life, when Dawn and Craig were planting this all those years ago, and they're thinking what to call Grace Life, the foundation of what we're trying to build is through the flow of grace from our Father. If we don't have revelation of that, or if we didn't, and if Dawn and Craig didn't, it's unlikely that this church would have moved into the space that it's at now. So we've always got to come back to that thing as a foundation. It's the grace that flows from our Father. And the question that I have for you this morning is, what does it mean for us practically that God's grace is enough? And I've tried to kind of answer that question in three points that I have this morning. And the first one is, with his grace, we don't need to look elsewhere. You see, the world looks for a peace. It looks for strength, for satisfaction, for purpose, in all places, often. But the place that actually it comes from, an abundance. And that's from the throne of God. That's where it comes with a lasting effects in our lives and generationally in our families' lives. But the question that we often ask ourselves is Jesus enough? Is God's grace really enough for me? Or do I need to add a little bit of this and a little bit of that? I thought about a recipe from Jamie Oliver and the other guy that swears a lot. What's his name? Gordon Ramsay. Huh? I'm sure he's a great guy, but he needs to tone down on that swearing a bit. So you get the recipe from Gordon Ramsay, and it's perfect. It it looks good and it tastes perfect. And then often, like what I do, sometimes when Pam has made the perfect meal, okay, is I create the perfect storm by adding a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then when we sit down, it's like it's not the original recipe. It never tastes as good as it did when she had it. And that's what we do. We're with God's grace often. We feel it's not enough. We need to add a bit of this and a bit of that. And so we make something ultimately that is meant to be incredibly simple. This message is a very simple message. We don't have to delve too deep into theology to understand grace. We it has to come through relationship with Jesus. That's the truth. You know, Paul says that he recognizes his weakness, but he glorifies God through that. In 2 Corinthians 12, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in the insults and hardship and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, who knows the rest? I'm made strong. You see, it's in our weakness that we actually see the power of God working through us. I know that life is not easy, just like you. I know that every day is a challenge and that we do have to battle in all kinds of ways. Tomorrow, there's one thing for sure, you're going to be in a battle. I can tell you that, just like me. Maybe your thorn this morning is, maybe somebody said something to you that's hurt you. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a person at work. Maybe you've tried to extend grace to them and you haven't received the grace back. And so it hurts in here. Maybe you feel hurt by church leadership. Maybe you feel a bit neglected. Maybe somebody didn't respond to you in the way that you were hoping. Maybe I've hurt you. Maybe I said something that has hurt you. So first of all, if it was me, I always want to take a posture of apology. I'm sorry. It wasn't meant like that. But of course, there's a grace that has to be extended, just like God extends grace to us. Because we're never going to function well as a family if we can't extend grace to each other. How do we represent Jesus? Jesus was a man that extended grace to every single person that he met. You see, what we do often is, in fact, the church is quite good at doing this. It takes something that's very simple. And it says, if you don't measure up to what God expects of you, then he's going to retract his love and grace from you. And so it becomes a religious situation where actually we'll never really measure up. So we never really understand the heart of the Father. We don't have to. If we are born again believers, we've given our lives to him and his grace is sufficient for us. And so if that's you this morning, you've been trying to measure up, I would love you to take this home as revelation. And that's that God's grace is enough for you. He loves you, I promise you. He can never love you more than he does. Maybe this is a conclusion that you so desperately need this morning, is to stop striving through your own strength. Humble yourself and accept his strength and his power inside of you. Maybe this morning you need rest. Rest. Realize how essential it is to surrender and trust. Just surrender and trust him, friends. My point to this morning is we don't have to be strong on our own. And I love this piece of scripture from Chronicles that says it really well. Chronicles 16 verse 11. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Now we know in the Old Testament, there's a time that Moses goes up into Mount Sinai. I remember when I was backpacking around and I was in the Sinai and we left at about 3 o'clock in the morning. We went and climbed Mount Sinai right to the top and we watched the sunrise. Unfortunately, I wasn't following the Lord at any time during that time. So I missed the significance of it. But it was an amazing experience. Anyway, Paul is has climbed Mount Sinai, and the Lord takes him, and he hides him in the cleft of a rock to protect him as he passes by, as his glory passes by, because it was too much. It's too much. But the most beautiful thing is that we've been called to see the face of God. How do we see it? It's through the representation of who Jesus Christ is. It's by looking at the example of grace that Jesus extended through humbling himself on a cross, and we see the Father. Because when you see the Son, you see the Father. So you understand that God is full of grace for us. Isn't it a beautiful thing to think and to be exposed to the truth of that? One of the most powerful prayers that we could pray, I believe, as a church, is to get down on our knees, to humble and to say, Father, it's not by my strength, Lord. I'm humbling myself. It's by your strength, Father, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. When we humble ourselves, what we do is we get filled with his strength. That's the truth. That's what I'm only speaking through my experiences. I can't speak through yours. But I believe that's true, because that's what I feel. It's his strength. Let's glorify him always. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. You see, he cares for us. We call to hand to trade. When we're trading, we give something and receive something. So we trade our anxieties and weakness and all that, and we get his strength and all of those beautiful things that flow through his grace. Through Jesus Christ is a trade that happens. It's a wonderful thing. And it also says, and it caught my eye, it says in due time. So it doesn't say immediately. Now that's an important thing, because sometimes we want to have things immediately given to us. And so what happens is we step forward in faith, and because we don't receive the answers immediately, we go back and look elsewhere. We've just finished that series on the seed and the fertile hearts. What was it called, Sean? Changing soils. Yeah, changing soils. When I was thinking about this, I thought of the church. I thought of the purpose, the power that's in this thing, the local church. And you know, I thought of a village. And one of the most important things in a village, besides good leadership, of course, is fresh water. And when the church becomes ineffective, or grace isn't administered within the body of Christ, within the local church, maybe the leadership stumble and you know, that flow stops. It's like the fresh water inside of a village not being there. What happens? The village starts to suffer. It cannot continue, because everything needs fresh water. Everything needs revelation. Revelation flows out of a powerful, faithful local church. That's my thoughts. Can I have an amen for that? Come on. And that's to say amen to you, Father. That's the truth. So we always want to admit and extend grace in the family relationships that we have here. And when I say family, of course, it's not necessarily blood family, natural blood, but we bound together through the blood of Jesus, so we are family. God extends grace to us so that we can learn how to extend grace to others. Very important. And that leads me to my point 3. We can show grace to others. Part of receiving revelation of God's grace is to allow it to flow through us, because we know that it's a river. A river flows with power, okay, when it flows deep, not when it flows wide. So we have to go deep in order to understand it. There's a flow, it comes through us, and then it flows through us. Because if we're going to disciple well, we're going to have to learn and have the revelation of administering grace to those that God has put in our path. Paul boasts about his weakness so that the power of Christ can be shown through him. through him, so that when people look at Paul, they can see it flowing through him. And of course, always from a humble disposition. The truth is, we cannot give what we don't have. So revelation of grace is important. Revelation of grace is important. This morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your answer is grace. Nothing will ever increase the measure of that. Of course, God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit inside of us. And sometimes he may lead us in a direction where we feel we're challenged. We're challenged not through condemnation, because he doesn't condemn us. But there may be a conviction that comes where we think, okay, I hear what you're saying. I need to go this way and not that way. Because it's important that he does that. He leads well, like a good father. When I was had more authority over my kids, I had to show them. Sometimes I had to get the belt out and the stick, the hockey stick. I used to, no, I'm joking. I didn't do that ever. Hey, you're going to have me arrested for GBH. Our father doesn't do that. I remember hearing this one thing that said, if you want to bring correction, okay, don't hit somebody with a mallet. That's GBH. It's true. You don't bring correction like that. So, you see, as we have the opportunity to walk along other people, alongside other people, we've really got to have grace for them. As people step into a family, if you've ever adopted a child or fosters, as we did once, we fostered a girl for a year. We had to have a lot of grace for the girl because she'd never been in a family situation. She didn't understand family dynamics, and we didn't really understand her situation fully either. So there was a lot of grace that had to be administered. And it's the same, I believe, as we journey through our relationship with God. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to falter. But God's grace allows for that. And as it does, as God calls you into relationship with people, maybe you feel hurt through having tried to bring somebody into relationship with Jesus and the person rejected you. That's you this morning. There's a grace that has to come onto that person through you, because it flows through God. None of us are perfect. All of us have been adopted if we've given our lives to Jesus, into his family, into his church. Amen. And so grace flows through that thing. And my last piece of scripture this morning is Exodus 34, verse 6. And it says, "And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" Isn't that beautiful? That's our dad. That's our dad. I'd love to invite us just to stand this morning as we prepare to bring this to a close. So if you feel that you've been hurt by leadership, there's going to be an opportunity at the end to release this. If you feel that you've been hurt by a family member, or there's a thorn in your side that you want to release, we're going to have an opportunity to do that just now. God is slow to anger, abounding in love and compassion, and full of grace. Maybe you don't feel equipped to walk and lead somebody else yet. Maybe you don't even feel equipped to walk on your own as yet. But again, in his weakness and in his grace, we are made strong. And eventually, it'll overflow abundantly through you. If you feel inadequate or unable, maybe that's exactly where God needs you this morning. Maybe that's at the place that he can start to work deeply inside your heart. Thinking about changing soils, that's all about heart condition. And don't forget that the sun that bakes the clay melts. It's about a heart condition. Do you have a fertile heart this morning to receive? Maybe you could have been a better parent, better husband, a better wife. Well, I want to tell you that God's grace is sufficient for you. Let's point to the one who's perfect. God is saying this morning that His grace is sufficient for us. In every season, in every way, His grace is sufficient. So this morning, we have an opportunity to respond. Don't forget, it's His name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. That's who we're reaching to now.